Hallelujah. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Doesn't matter. I love that scripture that says, with God, nothing is impossible. I heard one guy talking about that one time, and he said, do you ever think about this? To do nothing is impossible with God. He's already done something. See, listen to the words. To do nothing is impossible with God. That's why he said nothing is impossible with God and to him that believes. How many believers we got in here tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, shake hands with somebody. Let them know I'm a believer, not a doubter. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, what a great week we had. Amen. Last week, if you weren't able to be here, we're due to work or whatever, or bad decision. I mean, or didn't just decide to stay in bed, whatever it was, you know. Thank God we have video recordings and audio recordings and all that good stuff, right? That you can make yourself available to. Praise the Lord. I want to talk tonight about the culture of faith. The culture of faith. Now, there's so many things, you know, in thinking about and just, you know, talking about culture, the way, you know, culture has, as simply stated, might be the way people do things. And if you have the opportunity to travel any, I mean, hey, you can go from here to Missouri and encounter a different culture, right? Any folks here from Missouri? I'm sorry. But, you know, your motto is the show me state. In other words, you don't believe it unless you see it. Well, that's not faith. I grew up in Illinois, so the border states, you have to dig them. No, God bless you folks in Missouri. Amen. But there's a different culture. And we've been adopted into this family. You know, Ephesians chapter 1 talks about God's good pleasure. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become adopted children into God's family. And God's culture, or God's way of doing things, is different than the world's way of doing things. How many of you found that out? Yeah. Now, many of you in here, I'm looking around, I can see folks, you know, that are from other countries. You found out in a big way there's different cultures. How many of you have been able to travel to another country? All right, look at all the hands. See, did you encounter different culture when you were there? Possibly, how many of you encountered a different language? You know, language is a big part of culture. There's so many things, you know. The culture of God and the culture of faith is a culture of possibility. It's not a culture of negativity. It's not a culture of failure. I think you can understand if you were raised in the household of the modern day quote-unquote father of faith, which Brother Hagin didn't like that term, that you would come up with the life attitude of I cannot be defeated, I will not quit. Because you were raised in a culture of faith that no matter what you faced, it was just another opportunity for the Word of God to work in your behalf. And that produces some, that puts something into you. All right? And so I think a big part of our job as ministers but then all Christians is to understand that we are trying to, and I don't mean to say this the wrong way, like we're brainwashing someone, but how many of you know we have to renew our mind? But it's to take the Word of God and help people assimilate, if you will, into the culture of God, the way God does things, sees things. I know there's a song we sang here that got popular a few years ago. We haven't sung it in a while, but it's that basically paraphrase that Jesus was inviting us to where he's seated to look at things from his point of view. From his point of view. And I know that in traveling and in talking to people, there's different points of views. But really the only point of view that matters is what the Word of God has to say. I know I was talking to a young couple who they had gotten married, and this was close to, they'd been married about a year, and one of them was from another country, one of them from here. And I just looked at him, and I had never thought about this, but you know, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? That's another part of our culture of faith, is to be led by the Spirit of God. We have the right to be led by God's Spirit. Amen? And I just heard this come up out of me, and I knew it wasn't me thought this up because this was just too good. Right? You remember when they came to Jesus and said, good teacher? And he said, whoa, wait. Don't call me good. There's only one good. That's my Father in heaven. That's why when I read that, it hit me like somebody just shoved me. Just hit me that hard that if it's good, it has to be God. Right? If it's good, then it was God. It wasn't me. It was God. And I'd rather it be good than it be me. Let me say that again. I'd rather it be good than it be me. Glory to God. But in talking to them, I said, you know, this person happened to be, you know, from a certain nation. And I said, you're no longer a husband from that nation. And I told the wife, you're no longer wife. You are a Christian husband now. And you are a Christian wife now. And I don't care what your culture was where you came from. I don't care what your culture was that you are now obligated to operate as a husband and or a wife according to the Word of God. You see, when we said yes to Jesus as Lord, we gave up our culture. Right? We gave up our right to do things the way we've always done it. And it takes a time, it's a renewing process. Glory to God. Well, there's so many things we could talk about, but I want to talk tonight about a big part of every culture is the language. So I want to talk about, you know, talking about the culture of faith. Let's talk about the language of faith tonight. If you would go to Proverbs chapter 18, we'll start there. I basically only have two verses that I gave to Ingrid to start with, and then I said, hang on, so hopefully she's ready. We'll go as we... There's so many here. But Proverbs chapter 18, and let's look at verses 20 and 21. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 and 21. I'm going to read from the King James Bible. I might take a few of these and thous out if you allow me to. But it says, a man's belly... Now here again, if we understand culture, we understand that mindset. When they talk about a belly, he's not just talking about, you know, what you eat. He's talking about your innermost, your being, the inside of you. Is satisfied, shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power, or under the authority of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, Ingrid, I'm going to skip my next one. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm reminded that in Deuteronomy, God said, I've set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. Well, how do we make that choice? In God's culture, how do you make the choice? You do it with the words that you speak. Death and life are under the authority of the tongue. The culture of God is to speak words of life. Who gives life to the dead by calling things that be not as though they were? You see. Aren't you glad that when, you know, without going back there, aren't you glad that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? The earth was out form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. God looked out there. Aren't you glad God didn't say, boy, it is really dark today? It'd still be dark. He didn't want dark. He wanted light. So what did he speak? Light be. And, you know, science is telling us, you know, astronomers, as they study, it's still going. It's still being. The universe expanding at the speed of light, they say. Well, God never said light stop. He said light be. Come on now. You see, God speaks the end result. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, or attitude of faith here. Or let me say it this way. We having the same or operating in the culture of faith, according as it is written, I believed. How many of you know part of the culture is a believing? We believe. What? We believe God's word. Let God be true and every man a liar. I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. It is impossible. Listen to me now. It is impossible for a Christian to live a Christian life and remain silent. You must speak what you believe. That's how God has set up, that's how his family, if you will, operates. That's the culture of faith. That's the culture of God. What you believe, you speak. Jesus said, was it Matthew 12? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, whether good or bad. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to locate yourself, start listening to what you're saying. Be like the psalmist David said, God, put a guard upon my mouth. Amen? You know, now I'm not giving us permission to be confession police, you know, where we run around correct everybody for all the wrong things they say. But you might want to find you someone to help you in this area if you're having trouble. Someone said once that our life, it was a result of all the words that we have heard and believed and spoken out of our mouth up to this point. And you see that in God's culture. So we believe, and therefore we speak. Now, in thinking about that, I was looking in Matthew chapter 4. Can we go over there, please? Matthew chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 1. Here Jesus has been baptized by John. The Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. And then God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, I want us to begin in chapter 4 of Matthew and verse number 1. And I want us to see something here. Now, of course, you know, this place is called Rhema, you know, which is the English alphabet applied to a Greek word. But, you know, we don't speak Greek, so we say Rhema. It's not really a Greek word. It's a transliterated word, which I know that's all technical, blah, 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 blah stuff. But anyway, the word Rhema. Now, it means the spoken word. But unfortunately, so does the word logos, means spoken word too. But the difference between a rhema and a logos is all that God has said. A rhema is something he specifically said to you. Right? It's a specific word. Every time you're led by the Spirit of God, you just got a rhema. Isn't the Holy Spirit God? Third member of the Godhead, right? If it's the word of God, then it is from God. Now, look what it says in Matthew chapter 4 here, verse 1, with Jesus, speaking with Jesus here. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Why did Jesus, listen to me, why did Jesus go into the wilderness? And the answer is not to be tempted of the devil. He went to the wilderness because he was led by the Spirit. He received a direction from God, a word from God, a rhema from God, to go into the wilderness. All right? Now, Luke or Matthew here adds that one of the results was he was tempted of the devil there. Now, what did Jesus do? He goes into the wilderness. Now, it's interesting here. It says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of God. Now, I always like to point out that the devil's always going to question God's word in your life. Just back up in verse 17 of chapter 3, he said, this is my beloved Son. And so the devil comes and says, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, now this is, listen, look at this. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now that word there, translated word, is this word rhema. But by every word, or every rhema, excuse me, that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, we looked at that and we've taken that and said, some things, but here recently I begin to see something here that Jesus went by the Spirit. He went by a rhema into the wilderness, and the way that he survived that 40 days and 40 nights was by that rhema. And he's saying, man, so how have I done this? I'm not going to go off of what God told me to do. He told me to come into this wilderness. He didn't tell me to come up here and turn rocks into bread. Man shall not live by every word. But man shall not live, what's he say, by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, I see it all the time, and you know, before me, Pastor Marvin was the dean here of the school, and you know, there's others, but we talk about, you see it all the time here. God leads people to come to Rhema Bible Training College. They know God led them here. But somewhere along the way, they let go of that rhema. And they're not living by it. When God gives you a rhema, you have to live by that rhema. He's given you direction for this time and this purpose in this time period of your life. And we are to live by it. And when you're living by something, how many of you know when you live by something, you talk about it, you speak it.
Yes.
And early on, oh yeah, God sent me here. But you know, life happens to everybody. Isn't that right? You know, maybe things get a little rough. How many of you, I remember when I first kind of came out of the church I was raised in and got born again and got filled with the Spirit, I'd hear folks, you know, and talking about, you know, all the great things they had before they gave their life to God, and now how horrible it was, the devil's come against them. I'm thinking, well, dear God, why did, you know, this doesn't, you know, I used to have this, I used to have that, and now I'm serving God, and now, you know, the devil's just beat me up, and, you know, I was like, wow. I thought this was supposed to be a good deal. You know, and they're trying, I don't know if they're trying to testify or complain. I don't really know. You know, a little wine or something. I don't know what they were doing. But I got to thinking about that. No, you know. But, you know, life happens to everybody. But what did Jesus say even in that, about the storms of life? He said the wise person builds their house on the rock. In other words, they hear the word of God and they do it, he said. But those that hear the word and don't do it, the storm comes in and knocks them down. When God, and I'm kind of going a different direction here than I thought I was, but when God leads you by his Spirit and gives you a rhema word, if you quit living by it, you're on sandy ground. Amen. Now, how many of you found out that God, by his Spirit, I mean, there's some things he leads you every day in. There's leadings every day. But then there's also major leadings in life. When God says, go do this, and until you get another leading, you don't leave that. Okay? When you do get that, then you're free, and you know, and you have to, and then, you know, God provides timing and all kinds of different things of that sort to make that happen. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, in this story here in Matthew, three times the devil tempted him, three times Jesus said something out of his mouth. He answered him, and every time it was with the word of God. Okay, that's a quote from the Old Testament. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Actually, in the Old Testament, it doesn't, the word in the King James in italics, it literally says what proceeds from God. Didn't say word, but something that proceeds, goes forth from God. Now, we believe that God's word is his will. Is that right? God never says anything that he does not expect to happen. And Jesus lived that way and ministered that way on the earth. And he is our example. He's our example. And that's why Paul picked that up. He said, we having that same attitude, that operating in that same culture of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. And I know, you know, here June 30th was my 37th birthday, if you will, into the family of God. And here this month, August, is my 37th anniversary of preaching and teaching God's word. I don't know how I got saved a month later. I was doing it. It was who I can't believe they asked me after a month. But I learned early on to preach other people's notes and sermons. I had Brother Hagin's book on how to be filled with the Spirit. That was my first lesson I ever taught in the basement of the parish, the Catholic in his home, the Catholic priest there in that basement of his home, there was a bunch of Catholics that were wanting the things of God, and I preached on that, and folks got filled. We were talking in tongues, and amen, hallelujah. I found this out with Catholics, man. You show them that Mary spoke in tongues, and they're in, because they've been taught whatever Mary said, whatever Mary did, that's it, boy. And she was there, Bible says, with him. Praise the Lord. Now, our tongue is a very powerful thing. And looking back at that, there were so many great things. This right here that I hold in my hand, I was telling the guys before service, I don't know that there's enough if all of you got together, you could pull enough money to buy this off of me. This is the green padded old original Living Bible that came out. It's a paraphrase, you know, Kenneth Taylor's paraphrase. And I really like it in the Proverbs. And he says some things about our speech here that I think are very good. And so don't be looking up on the screen. You're not going to find these on here. But let me read some of these to you. I'll give you the verse reference in case you want to look it up. But because there's a language, and the language of faith is a language that speaks the truth, never a lie. Because God's word is truth. Now he says here in chapter 10, verse 11, Proverbs, there is living truth in what a good man says, but the mouth of the evil man is filled with curses. Verse 14, a wise man holds his tongue. Only a fool blurts out everything he knows. That only leads to sorrow and trouble. Praise the Lord. Don't look at anybody. All right, verse 19, don't talk so much. You keep putting your foot in your mouth. Be sensible and turn off the flow. Now, what's he talking about? Surely he's not talking about talking words of faith. He's talking about all that negative talk. I don't know why this is happening to me. I don't know why, you know, all that stuff that people, you get, if you're not careful, you fall back into that because that's the culture of the world. If you be always questioning God's word. You start questioning God's word out of your mouth, you get a hold of yourself. I don't care if you have to bite your tongue, you bite it. And you stop talking that way because that's not God's culture. That's not the culture of this family. Now I realize we're always learning, we're always growing in these things. All right? He says, turn off that flow. When a good man speaks, he's worth listening to. But the words of fools are a dime a dozen. Wow. He says here in verse 31 of chapter 10, the good man gives wise advice, but a liar's counsel is shunned. The upright speak what is helpful, and the wicked speak rebellion. Amen. Now he says there's a lot in here about gossip. I'm not going to read that. Chapter 12, verse 13, lies will get any man into trouble, but honesty is its own defense. Telling the truth gives a man great satisfaction. Verse 17, a good man is known by his truthfulness, a false man by deceit and lies. Verse 18, some people like to make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise soothe and heal. Are you speaking healing words? Are you speaking soothing words? The New Testament says, is your speech seasoned with grace? Right? That it brings grace to people when we talk? Are we speaking words of life? He says over here in chapter 13, verse 3, self-control means controlling the tongue. A quick retort can ruin everything. Chapter 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words cause quarrels. Got any married folks in here? Is that true? Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Verse 4, I love that. Gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement. Now, you know, when you see folks who are discouraged all the time, I'll guarantee you a lot of griping going on somewhere. Okay? I don't know somebody, I don't know who it was at Camp Meeting, but you've heard it before. You know, really, When you become a new creature in Christ, it doesn't matter if you were born on the south side, the north side, on the tracks, in the, you know, it doesn't matter if you, where you were born. We have a but God that changed all of that. Yes. Right? We don't have, the past can never be an excuse for what we're having right now. Because we're new creatures in Christ. And I think that verse that was it Colossians 3, is it 10 or 12 that Pastor brought up there to in the Message Bible, talked about that new wardrobe. Amen. You know, that's all part of this culture. But you know, I remember, I'm going back, I said 37 years ago, the reason, when I remember coming into this, boy, we were really strict on what we had to say. We were strict with our words. And you never said, I can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. I thought you could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, people, whoo, boy, they'd help you right out. Amen. I heard Pastor Craig say that. He said, my mom's favorite scripture is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So he said, you weren't allowed to say, I can't do that in our house. Amen. But these things here about our words of our mouth. Let's see here. Here's in the same chapter, chapter 15, verse 28. A good man thinks before he speaks. An evil man pours out his evil words without a thought. Now, we talked about that faith speaks. Faith speaks. But you also learn how to control yourself so that you don't speak until you're in faith. Until you believe in the right thing. I remember reading Brother Hagin, or listening to Brother Hagin talk about how that, one of the children would have some situation, and of course they corresponded, he traveled by letter because, you know, Man and I were talking about that when we were, you know, separated for, I was at Raymond and she was home, then she went to college and I was at home, you know, and we didn't, cell phones, long distance calls used to cost money, folks. How many of you remember that? Some people are like, what? You didn't have no, there was no cell phones. And collect calls were expensive. You just didn't pick up the phone, huh? No email, no instant, no text, but no instant message, none of that stuff, okay? And so we wrote a lot of letters. Well, he and Miss Hagin, my brother Hagin, Miss Hagin, they wrote letters back and forth. He'd say, okay. He'd say, you know, in such a time I'll be. But he'd spend that time. He wouldn't say anything about it until he said he'd spend sometimes just 2-3 days going over healing scriptures. Before he would ever even pray about it, he wouldn't say anything about it. He would just go over those scriptures, go over those scriptures, go over those scriptures. Why? Because he wanted to be able to speak from a position of faith. And faith doesn't come because you heard it one time. And faith doesn't come because you said it one time and it worked. Faith comes by continual hearing. That's the thing about it. Man lives by not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the thing that happens is when you begin to read God's word, for instance, 1 Peter 2:24, that last part that says, by whose stripes you were healed. You can read that. You know, I've read it before. You can read it. Yeah, by whose stripes you were healed. Oh, praise the Lord. You know what? But there, you got to stay after that until you understand. It becomes a word from God to you specifically. Well, wait a minute. I am healed. And when you get there, you can't help it. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. You see. So, if you're having struggles in areas, you know, you might be having financial tension in your life. Hey, everybody does. You know, even folks that got things like, you know, oh, if I was just like them and had all that money. Well, you don't know what they're going through to have all that money. Can I tell you something? You don't want anyone else's life but the one God has for you. Don't ever compare yourself by anybody else. Now, that doesn't mean don't watch people and see how they do stuff. You know, that's part of training. We're not talking about that, okay? Don't go in ditches on these things. But there's only, you know, thank God, there's only one me. You know, we don't need another person like me. Don't need a mini me. Right? We don't need that. Okay, we need you to be who God made you to be. Okay? Praise the Lord. And live according to that word that proceeded out of God's mouth to you. It's interesting to watch. Go back sometime. Let me encourage you. Sometime I may do it here. But I'm going back and looking at Elijah and Elisha. Brother Bill mentioned them this morning. And looking at it said, and the Spirit of the Lord said unto them, go do it. And the Bible, and there's a phrase almost always that follows, and they went and did. What are they acting on? Rhema word from God. The corresponding Old Testament, the Hebrew word is D-A-B-A-R. It's the word, you know. But they went, God led them. Now thank God in the New Testament, he leads all of us. You don't have to be a prophet, priest, or king. But why do we still hear about Elijah? Why do we still hear about Elisha? Why are they important? Because when God said it, they went and they did what God said. and they said what God said. Now, if you ask them, where are you going? Well, I'm going to do this. They spoke those things out. And so there's a language of faith that's involved with the culture of God. And the more we speak, listen, the more you learn the language of the culture that you're trying to become part of, the more you will become part of that culture. The more of the languages, you know, I'm dangerous. There's a few languages in place around the world. I know just enough of the language to be dangerous. You know what I mean by that? We were talking to dear brother Keith Higginbotham over Thailand. He was telling us some words that he said that sound very close to one another. And if you miss it just by a little bit of an inflection, it means something totally different than what you mean. And how, you know, he said, I've said a couple things and people just fall over laughing, you know, and he, you know, just different things like that. But you realize this, to really be part of a culture, you have to learn the language of that culture. And not just, you know. Now see, my mother's family, she's never been mother, it's always mom, okay? That's our culture. They're from Southern Illinois, grew up close to the Ohio River in Southern Illinois. And my granny, okay, my granny, you know how many of you folks from the States, you said y'all. Any y'alls in here? They didn't say that. They said Ewens. Huh? Ewens. Well, you know, if you're like, you hear that, Ewens, what? But when you understand that language and you know what they're talking about, then you understand the people better. All right? God has a language. We need to learn God's language and start speaking God's language, and we're going to operate better in God's culture. Because when we operate in God's culture, think about this, and I think the other night somebody quoted it, but there it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. You see, think of it this way. The culture of God causes me to live above the culture of this world, even though I'm in this world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. But when I do things according to God's way and I speak God's words out of my mouth, I live according to God's culture, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, not according to what's happening here on the earth. I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. We're what? We are ambassadors. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll end with this real quickly. Hallelujah. You may not have gotten anything out of this tonight, but I thank God he led me to talk about this, because this has been going over on the inside of me, and sometimes talking it out like this, thank you for letting me talk it out to you, seeing more and more how this is fitting and how big this really is. So I've been seeing some things I think I see Tokes here. I don't see any of the other. You know, Rhema and our international schools and our schools, we talk about it this way, that there's a certain DNA to Rhema schools. And we want every school to have that DNA. All right? But you know, God has, that same way of saying God has a culture, a DNA. And we're adopted into His family. He supernaturally imprints His DNA in our spirit, but our soul and our body have to adapt to that DNA that we've gotten now. And one of the ways we do that is through language. Now here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, speaking of, let's think of this according to God's culture, God's dwelling place, verse 19, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I'm not an expat. I'm not an immigrant in God's family. I'm not a foreigner or stranger anymore. I'm a full-fledged citizen with all the rights and privileges. Amen. And so I need to learn this culture and I need to learn this language so I can operate and take part and have part of all the rights and privileges that God has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's so much more there and we could say and do in this, but I think that gets me to a place I can unhook. How's that sound? All right. Let's all stand up together. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and your voice. Just tell the Lord, thank you, Father, for making me a part of your family. Thank you, Father, you've adopted us into your family. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. We're not foreigners and strangers to your culture and to your way of doing things. We're citizens, fellow citizens of the household of faith. Glory to God. It didn't matter if we're born a Jew or Gentile. Through Christ, we're all one. Glory to God. Father, we thank you and we praise you. And Father, we will not live by this world, but we'll live by every word that proceeds from your mouth, every rhema that comes forth, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Help us to learn the language of the of faith and the culture of faith and live according to possibilities. There are no impossibilities, Father God, in you. We can do everything that you've called us to do, everything you've brought us for. And Father, as we fulfill your plan and your purpose on this earth, we'll do it with joy, we'll do it with thanksgiving, and we'll do it in victory. Hallelujah. Amen. We give you praise and we give you honor. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Yes, yes, yes. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if I'm not careful, I'll start preaching again, so I better stop because I need to stop. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Our prayer team's going to come right now. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, come. If you need prayer for anything tonight, here in just a moment we dismiss. Now, don't go out of this place and you needed someone to agree with you. You needed some, because these folks are trained. They're going to pray with you according to God's word. Amen. They're going to help you find the answers that you have need of. Hallelujah. Now, I wish we could just, you know, lay hands on you and say you'd never have another problem again in life, but that's not how life on this earth is. But I can tell you this. If you'll live by the word of God and have the word of God and speak the word of God out of your mouth, that you'll live in victory. You will win. Amen? You will win, glory to God, because Jesus has already won the victory for us. Hallelujah. But you come up here afterwards, ladies, the ladies, men to the men, praise the Lord, and pray with them, and they will help you. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Well, first, we did have some first-time guests tonight. If you would, if our connection team would find those, our first-time guests, and take them to that place to receive that gift from Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. Amen. Don't forget that on the 13th is that back-to-school Sunday. And so get ready for that. That's going to be a big event here. And you want to make sure that you're here for that. Have your children, those of you that have children, have them with you on that day. It's going to be a big thing. It's hard to believe, you know, a month from the end of this coming week here, we'll be registering students for here at Rhema. And praise the Lord. And so get ready for an influx. Those of you that are, you know, as churchmen, we have these young folks that come in here and these old folks that come in here, but they're new to Rhema. Please make them feel welcome when they get here, okay? And help them integrate and become a part of this great church that's having impact over all the world. Praise the Lord. This week, don't forget to pray for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen as they are off getting some well-deserved rest as they gear up for the school year and to finish out their traveling schedule here in the next few months for the year. Amen? We good, gentlemen? Everything good? All right? All right. Shake hands with somebody. Tell them I'm not a stranger. I'm a citizen. And you can be dismissed. Amen?